The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. Jesus enjoined them, "Watch out. Guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They concluded among themselves that it was because they had no bread. When he became aware of this, he said to them, "Why do you conclude that it is because you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or comprehend? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and not see? Ears and not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many wicker baskets full of fragments you picked up?" They answered him, 12. "When I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many full baskets of fragments did you pick up?" They answered him, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. I thought I'd tell you once again about our first reading from Genesis, because this is one of very few days in which we get to hear the story of Noah. You know, we only get to hear the story of Noah once every 3 years on Sunday, and once every other year on the weekdays, which, you know, for an archetype of the Old Testament, it's quite unfortunate that you get to hear it so rarely. So two basic lessons that you get from the Noah story, both greatly important. Okay, here's the first lesson that you learn from Noah. God's punishment is ordered towards our restoration. It's never for our destruction. Right? That's the first lesson you learn from Noah. Here's the second. God does not want to punish anybody. And in fact, he doesn't have to, because through just one good man, or perhaps a small remnant, God can bring great, great blessings to many people. And it's for those two reasons that the fathers of the church thought of Noah as being a figure of Christ. His punishment, our restoration. The one faithful one who brought blessings to so many. Let's take a quick look at each of those two. First of all, if you want to understand the anger of God, I'm going to talk about the wrath of God in the Old Testament. The wrath of God is God's passion to set wrong things right. Sin really does disorder God's good creation, and he is not going to leave it that way. He sends the waters of the flood, but he does not do it to destroy the world that he's made, but to restore it, to give it a new birth. He will not leave his disordered creation that way. He loves us too much, which is something very important to remember. Whenever hardships come into our world, whenever you see something greatly disordered, honestly, I think about our church this way. We have been unfaithful for decades, right? Half-hearted, making easy compromises with the world, and we have become disfigured. And we will be corrected, okay? And it's going to hurt. But don't lose heart. God's correction, his discipline, his punishment, it's never for our destruction. There's always a rebirth after a death in God's plan, okay? Second important thing to remember, though, is that God doesn't want to destroy or to punish. He can often bring great blessings through just a few faithful souls. There's a story about St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests. Supposedly, the devil once said to him that if he could find just 3 more souls like him in the world, the devil's kingdom on this earth would be destroyed. Whenever I hear that story, I think, I want to be one of those 3. And here's assuming that you do too, okay? Showing up to Mass on a Tuesday morning. several standard deviations off the mean you are, okay? Here's assuming you want to be one of those people too. Stop and consider before you're too eager to sign up to be on God's team. Stop and count the cost. Take a look at Noah. Look at all that it cost him. Noah built the ark because God said he should build the ark. But boy, did he work hard. It's the first price you have to pay to be God's friend. It's going to cost you a lot of work. The ark that Noah built was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. That's a big boat, right? That, you got to be thankful for a long, long time to a plan you don't understand. Noah sacrificed his life to be faithful to God. It takes a tremendous amount of work. Second thing that you have to understand is that you will be held up for ridicule. Noah was a laughingstock on the public stage because he built a boat in the middle of a desert. When the world is greatly disordered, as it is, people get used to the disorder. They begin to think that the disorder is the normal state of affairs. And when anyone comes along and sets something into the God's correct order, it looks like they're the ones that are out of kilter. I believe it was G.K. Chesterton who once said that in a world that is upside down, the only one who sees it right is the one who's standing on his head. And that's what we have to be, okay? But don't expect applause and support from the general public. Applause and approval go to the false prophets. The enemies of God are often held up for ridicule, as Noah was, and as you and I need to be prepared to be. Third thing it cost Noah, it cost him a tremendous amount of perseverance, which is really more the subject of tomorrow's first reading, and I don't want to steal the thunder that I might need for tomorrow, so we'll put that one off for tomorrow. But consider the cost that it takes to be one of God's good friends, and then consider the resources he's giving you. Everything you need to be faithful to the Lord to the end is given to you in Christ. This is what causes Jesus such distress here in the Gospels. They conclude that they didn't bring along enough bread, right? And Jesus says, you're with the guy who just got finished multiplying 4,000 loaves of bread for one group and 5,000 for another. How can you possibly think that you don't need that you need bread when I'm with you? Superabundance for those who are with the Lord. And just a little side note that's interesting here in this Gospel of Mark, this is the last time that bread will be mentioned in the Gospel of Mark until the Last Supper. Deliberate omission, deliberate connection between the superabundance of Christ and what he offers us here at his table, here in the Eucharist. But to keep your eyes on the Lord and know that no matter what the trial, he is enough. Somebody once asked Abraham Lincoln in the midst of the Civil War, do you think that God is on your side? And he answered, sir, it is my consuming concern to be on God's side, because God's side cannot fail. That is what we want to be as well, to be on the Lord's side, to be fit for every trial and wanting in nothing. Amen.